Testing 1, 2, test, test, test. Testing 1, 2, 3. Test. Testing 1, 2. Test. I'm at the home of Mr. Glenn Simmons in Florida City, Florida. And we're going to talk a little bit about this area and his boat building. Let me just tell you a little bit before we start here. We put all of our tapes in an archive that I talked to you about, and I have a release form here which just says that you know that we have the tape, and that the tape is in our archive for full use of the material for scholarly or educational purposes. And at the end of the interview, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like for you to sign this, which means that it's kind of an agreement. Is that okay with you? Okay.
Kind of still on.
Okay. Now, Mr. Simmons, a lot of what we talk about tonight, I've already talked to you about before, but the reason I wanted to come back was to get it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you first of all tell me when you were born?
When I was born, I guess somewhere around 1916.
Do you have a month and a day?
Well, it's probably they might have lost that, you know. Seemed like I got the idea that they didn't have a Bible, and they wrote it down in the Sears Roebuck catalog. And then they took the catalog out to the outhouse. And that was the end of that. And that's, they'd have got the one Social Security uses is January the 14th, 1916.
That's yeah. Close to my birthday. Mine's the.
And that might 18th. Be right, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never did really care.
But where were you born?
Well, here. Somewhere around here. Mm-hmm. See, my daddy got killed when I was 12 years old. And my mother didn't seem to remember where it was around here, because they had bought a piece of land and moved over on a glade, on the edge of a long glade. And I've asked her several times, I said, where was I born, Mama, and where were you living then? And she said, well, I just don't really know. She said, we didn't stay there long. Said the old man, he'd go to work. Walking, you know, walk off to work and leave her there. And a fella'd come by on a bicycle during the week sometime, take orders for groceries. And she just didn't get out, you know, didn't know really where it was, but it was somewhere. Kitten, come here, come here.
Just waiting for him to jump
come
on
there. Oh.
Bang over that.
Come here, Oak. You're a kind cat, but you got to leave that thing alone, Ugg. There's a squirrel hanging around out here, and these cats trying to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me some of your earliest memories as a boy growing up around here.
We were real poor. We were poor people. Especially after the old man got killed, and I lived in a one-room shack till we was about 10 years old, and the old man built a little bit more onto it, but it was a great country to grow up in. There wasn't many people, and there was woods and water and gator holes everywhere, and places to swim and glades to romp in, and you just couldn't ask for a better place to grow up in at that time. And nobody bothered one another. Like now, the kids is raised inside a house. But we just roam this whole country. And, people gradually got thicker. I don't know, we just had an ordinary good life, I guess. But right in the start of the Depression when my daddy got killed, and mama didn't know anything except field work or something. Had a pretty tough time of making it, you know. Even got a job as $1 a day, and it's only a short, wasn't anything permanent or nothing. Just so we just went off in the woods mostly. I did. Go with some old man or something, off, stay a week or two. At least you could eat good out there. Mm-hmm.
What were pretty some good of the things that hunted to eat?
Oh, there was lots of turtles in those days. Lots of turtles. And now they're gone. And, of course, rabbits were just abundant. They were everywhere. And they're gone. And, of course, the birds. There were plenty of birds. And the water stayed up more, and the country hadn't been plowed away, and all the pond birds were everywhere around where we lived, even and when the water was up. But it was just there for us to eat, you know, and everything was sort of legal in those days. I mean, wasn't any thing wrong with killing and eating. I guess we would anyway. Deer were pretty close to him. Yeah. I don't know. We just did the best we could. Sell a little stuff. Sometime we'd get a boatload of turtles and sell them to the Indians. The Indians seemed like they had more money than some of the other people, and they'd buy those sliding turtles, those old sliders. We call them streaked necks. And we sold them everything. There was some of the Indians bought hides, bought gator hides and otter hides and coon hides, everything, and some white people too. Mostly had to take that stuff to Miami at least, and sometimes to Okeechobee to get more money out of it.
Okay, you have that boat out there that I took pictures of the other day.
Yeah.
Tell me about your earliest memory of the Glades skiff.
Well, there was a lot of them in the country, and that was the accepted way of traveling when the water was up. It was a Glades skiff. There wasn't any other way. It was just ideal before airboats. So we'd get a hold of an old one or build one. Borrow one or something. But that was just common in the early days, Glades skiffs.
When was the first time you built one? How old were you?
I suppose about 13 or 14, something like that.
Do you remember making it with anybody?
Well, not really, no. No, there were simple things to build. It wasn't, had they been complicated, I couldn't build it anyway. But they were simple and probably wasn't perfect in any sense of the word, you know. Just, we call them a bundle of planks sometime. And some of them we laughed at. Because it didn't have the shape, you know. We took a lot of kind of pride later on in getting a kind of a shape to it that we liked. Some of them, some people build them, the bow would run out one way or the other, and he'd pole in circles. We call them all around boats, that they'd go sideways just as good as it would ahead. And, but there really isn't much to it, you know.
Well, can you describe to me on tape how you make your boat?
This one?
Yeah.
Well, this type here, I've only been building this about 20, 25 years with a shaped bow like that. Before that, we just used two cypress planks, 12-inch boards, 16 feet long or 18. And we'd point one end and put a rake in the other. We'd rake it up high in the back so it would slip along in the water without making any noise, and it was easier to push that way. It didn't drag in the water, and that was kind of ideal. And then it got where you couldn't get the cypress. After the war, and along in there, it was getting hard to get. They had cut out all the good boat cypress, and you just couldn't get them planks anymore to build a boat with them. So got to using plywood, and I just played with one a while and bent it up in the bow and tried to make a model shape to it like an Indian canoe. And I built several of those.
Well, I
got a big old pot that I cook dog feed in. Holds about 100 gallons and open, and about 3 feet across the top. And you get the water boiling in there and lay the board across it and let the steam hit it a while with a few sacks on top of it, old corn sacks, croaker sacks. Lay them on top of the board and that steam will hold the steam, and you can gradually bend it up into the shape you want it. It might take you several days, not try to bend it all at once, but it'll work, and if your plywood is not too thick. So I don't know whether I would build another one that way or not, but I probably would, because I still can't get any good planks to build what I would like to have. The old time boats, we cross planked the bottom. And they were more rigid. They were really better. They were rigid. We could put a lot of weight on them, and they still hold their shape. And now this boat out here, I just generally use by myself. Hardly ever take anybody with me because it's just not built rigid enough for two people, to my notion. But I have. But.
What are the dimensions of this boat out here?
It's just 16 feet long and 24 inches in the bottom. That's what I try to build them. It's 24, 26 inches at the widest part, which is about 3 feet from the bow, 3 or 4 feet, and then taper back to about 22 inches in the stern and put some rake in the stern where it would slip through the water. And that rubber you see on the bow, on the edges, that hose, I put that on there so when you're hunting at night, if the pole hits it, it don't make a lot of noise. Like wood on wood in the water, it makes it honk and scare everything in the country. So, but I don't hunt anymore at night, of course. But there was a time, you know.
Why don't you hunt at night anymore?
Well, I don't hunt much any time, but hunting at night has been illegal for many years. And the things that we hunted at night was just frogs and gators, and so that's been over with for years, the gators. And I just wouldn't, I wouldn't do it again anyway, but there's no use of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Ain't no use of it.
Tell me how you get that boat through the water.
Well, we use a push pole. Pole, sometimes we use one as much as 15 feet long, as long as the boat, you know. Mm-hmm. It has a better balance to it, and that pole is used a lot for balance when you're standing. Without that pole, I'd fall overboard more often. I tell you, yeah. But in shallow water or any water up to 5 feet, I'd rather have a pole to push it with than a paddle. You can pole all day, but paddle is tiresome.
Do you always stand up?
Mm-hmm. Always stand up, yeah. Yeah. You did that standing up because it was just less tiresome than sitting down trying to paddle or pole either one. And then you could see further. You had who's always looking for something, you know. But you can see better when you're standing up. Much better. If there's two in the boat, well, of course, the one in the bow is always sitting down. We would tell him to sit steady in the boat.
What type of things do you still use your boat?
Yeah, I use it for fishing. And close to shore, mostly around the mangroves. And using freshwater creeks some, things like that. Yeah, I enjoy that. Still do. And looking for bottles, old bottles on the bottom, and figuring out things, trying to how it used to be, and reminiscing. Can't care nothing in the world about a motorboat. I got a real good one out there, but my wife likes it, but I don't. Don't use it much.
How far do you have to go now to put your boat in?
I'll further all the time. Well, if you're going in the mangroves, the park's got it all blocked off until you get something like 25 miles down the road towards Cape Sable, and you can put your boat in the mangroves, and sometime we go back in there fishing or knocking around, you know, but not so much anymore. And, the park, they're contrary people. You can't seem to do anything anymore that they ain't got an objection to. Can't cut a bush and build a fire or nothing. So I mostly stay out of there. Unless I go with somebody else that wants to go, I'll go with them sometime. And this other way, you have to go down around Card Sound to put your boat in, or about 10 miles east of here, out around Bayfront, put it in there sometime. Push around to the creeks, try to catch some snappers.
How far did you used to have to put it in to go?
Well, we had more water in this section when I was coming up in the glades. There was long glades and things all through this country and sloughs. And when the water would come up, and sometimes it'd stay up for 3 or 4 months, why, we could push right off the house, from the house, and go poling. But they've drained it for the betterment of the growers and people that wants to live here, I guess. It's better now because before these canals west of here and east of here that the government put in after 47, well, it was treacherous sometimes. The water would come up and flood out things. They got better control of it now, I guess. But when they did, why, most of the game's gone because they plowed up the game country, except what's in the park. It's been plowed up so the farmers could use it. So.
Did you ever trap?
Yeah.
Use traps?
Yeah. I did. I didn't like that, but we used some back in the 30s for otter. Some of the old fellas I went with used traps. And but mostly the otters they got, they hunted with a glade skiff. There's two men generally, hey, Ub, come here. Kitty, kitty, come here, Ub.
You gotta get away from there.
That piece of tape going around like that's too tempting.
Yeah. She wants to catch it. Two men in a glade skiff, one sitting down, one pulling. And they hunt otters in the winter, of course. In the mangroves. And there was a lot of otters then. Now they're not. There's not anything anymore. Since the park's taken, they absolutely... It just amazes me how stuff has disappeared. And back before the park, before 47, there was quite a few old people and stuff made a living in there, killing stuff, and the game was plentiful. But now since the park, nobody's hunted it, and the game is just scarce. You wouldn't believe it. I think it's due to a lot. Those folks, a long time ago, they burned everything they come to, mostly in the winter. And it didn't hurt anything because it wouldn't go far before it went to a place that had been burned before and go out. But it made places for everything to feed. The birds were thicker, everything. And there was turtles everywhere. Deer, no deer down in there now. It's just amazing. Just amazing. And but I believe it, all this, it took all this country, I guess. And it's been plowed away because all these pine woods was full of gator holes and they've been plowed and covered up to where the average person...
Scared me.
The average person wouldn't even realize that how it could have been, you know. There was deep holes all in these pine woods and sloughs. Some of those holes never went dry. But they plowed them all together, and now you can hardly tell where they were. Sometimes now when they freshly plow a piece of land, I can see big red spots out in it, and I know that at one time they were homes of alligators, and all the other animals that come around a gator hole, in which most everything uses around a gator hole. Because it's a rich place. It's a rich place, and deer love it. And of course, the coons and the turtles and the fish, everything's there. And but after it was gone, seemed like plowed away, it seemed like all the animal life got scarcer. There's plenty of gators left in the park, but I don't guess they'll ever be real thick because the nature of them is that they keep getting bigger when they're protected, and when they get when the big male gator gets so big, they eat up the other Gators and take over a bigger territory. And so there'd be less Gators, just more big ones. But the old cracker, they kept the big Gators killed off. And Gators got more plentiful that way because they didn't have an enemy there to bother them too bad. And but now the park has got some big Gators in it, and not a whole lot of Gators. Not a whole lot. But
can you describe for me how you used to catch the Gators?
Well, there's two methods that were used here, and one was fire hunting. That was hunting at night, and that was done in certain places where you had generally where you could get a boat to, you know, and lakes and things. That we went to periodically, like maybe some lakes we'd go to twice a year, way back in the park, and then the. But the other way of hunting was what we call pole hunting, and that was done in the daytime. Long walking trips, sometimes 4 or 5 days. And the ideal way to do that was to slip up on a cave and try to catch the gator laying out on the bank. And if you couldn't, be still a little while, and maybe he'd pop up, come out of the cave and stick his head up. And if he didn't, but they got pretty foxy. They got kind of wild, of course, over the years, because they, most every alligator that there was in this country up until the park come, had a bad experience with man. Now, where he was a baby or whatever, somebody had come there and killed his mother or something. So they got kind of foxy over the years, kind of smart. And sometimes you could stand on a cave and grunt them up. You'd grunt a few times like a baby gator. And I haven't got it down pat now. I haven't been practicing in 20 years, so I. But you could call them out, you know, after you do it a lot. And if it didn't come up then, now like I said, some of them were smart. You had an iron rod with you about up to 8 feet long, because there's hardly no place in this South Florida that you couldn't reach through the cave with an 8-foot rod. That went down to the rocks. And most places, from 3 to 8 feet it was. It's according to what marsh you were in. Some of them, the rock was only 3 feet down under the mud. So the gator couldn't cave but just 3-4 feet, you know. But there were some, especially back inland, it was pretty deep. It would take an 8-foot rod to reach through there to them. But anyway, you run the rod through there, and you feel the cave with the rod. You have a nut on the end of that rod, about an inch across. And when you push it through the mud, you can tell when you're coming into the cave. It'll drop through. So you work it back until the back of the cave that way and try to find that cave, and that gator would be in the back of the cave when you hit him with that rod. Hit him with the rod by, you could grunt down on the rod a few times and then go to the mouth of the cave and stand there and grunt a few times and he'd pop up. Then you shoot him back of the head. It was legal, you understand, up until almost to the park took over in Monroe County was legal. Dade County was legal until, I think, 1939. Anything, they figured it was a pest. And of course, there was a lot of them. You couldn't have a dog running loose. He'd go get in a water hole and the gator'd catch him. But, and the first people that come down here, why, they all tried to raise a few hogs. And the gator'd eat the hogs. Of course, the hog, you know, is going to go to a hole of water and little pigs and stuff. And so the first thing he done, the old cracker done when he come into South Florida when, I guess, about 1890, not just a few of them, man, but the old hunters come first. They always do. Come down in here, plume hunting and all kind of things. They'd walk that Camp Jack trail from Miami down, you know, or take a wagon. They'd hunt out this country just like... Noah, Levi. And so anyway, when the settlers come, their recreation was hunting on Sundays, the weekend. Just kill them for the fun of it. Well, they thought they had to kill them out. And they just... There's been more gators killed in Florida for the fun of it than there has for profit over the years. It's won't many people tell you that, but... They have. They have, for the fun of it. And it's still going on. Now they've quit hunting them for the hides, but they kill them now and cut off a little piece of meat off the tail and eat it. Now this is the thing now, among all these rednecks. But back when I was a kid, the only time we eat gators is when we couldn't get nothing else. I mean, we'd eat them, but if we'd get a rabbit or something, we'd rather have it.
Sit.